You're listening to Speak, Lord. I'm Ryan Rogers. Luke 10:38-42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Just hear those words again. "But few things are needed, indeed, only one." Oh, if I could live that way. If I could live aware of the one thing that is needed in each moment of life, how rich life could be, how present I would be. I walked into a public restroom and I said out loud the profound words, "You are here." I hope I didn't make someone uncomfortable. Maybe there was someone in a stall who thought I was trying to make conversation, but I wasn't talking to anyone else. I was talking to me. The "you" is me. I was there. I was telling myself I was in a men's restroom. Maybe not so profound, but the thought behind the words was profound to me. See, most of the time, I'm aware that I'm behind on what I've planned to do, and there's a whole bunch of important things that I'm not getting done. And I'm working on it. I'm working on it hard. I plan so that I'm more realistic. I give myself grace. I practice saying no. I prioritize. I'm trying to live my life more on what is essential and not clutter it with all the other things and feel behind all the time. I have a long way to go, and I still live in a hurried pace, but I work on it. God's working on me. This day, I was feeling hurried. And one of the things that hurried me was a pastor's meeting that I was expected to go to. These pastor's meetings had been giving attention to a big event in our conference that we're planning. And it really doesn't have to do with me because it's happening an hour away. So I had these resentful thoughts that I'm going and spending time helping plan something that I'm actually not involved with. And then in my better moments, I decided I would be a good team player and I would have a good attitude and help out. So I went to this meeting and it was a good time, but I was thinking about the time. And then afterwards, they wanted to go out and eat. And I love food, but it takes time to go to a restaurant and to wait for your food to come. So I decided I wasn't going to go. I had an appointment on the other end. I needed to get back for it. And then I asked, "How long does this place normally take?" And they said, "Oh, it's fast." So I said, "Okay, I'll go, but I have to leave at a certain time." So I decided that I would fit it in. And of course, the whole time, I'm thinking about the time. The other pastors were relaxed and joking and enjoying, and I was keeping track of time. They were focused on each other and enjoying connecting, and I called the waitress over and said, "Hey, I'm going to need to have you make mine to go because I need to get out of here as soon as the food's ready." So she made it to go. The atmosphere was nice. The food looked great. The people around me were pleasant, but it was all pressing me. And I was not living in that moment. I was living in the next, thinking about how much time it'd take me to get in the car, to drive back to the church, and to be present for the next thing. I chose, in the little bit of time I have had there, I chose to be anxious about what was about to happen instead of enjoying what was happening. And that's when I got up to use the restroom. See, I wanted to be ready when my box of food arrived. I wanted to be ready to go. And so used the restroom. And that's when I said out loud, "You are here." I've seen those words on maps at trailheads where the map is like concreted into the ground so it doesn't move, and they can say, "You are here," because no one's going to move that sign. And I love this. I love maps to begin with, but I love the little star that says, "You are here." And part of me laughs at it because it's silly, because I know where I am and I probably could figure it out. Just look for the parking lot. But the other part of me recognizes that this is probably the most helpful thing printed on the map. If I don't know where I am, I don't know how to get to where I'm going. I can't relate appropriately to all the things around me. And so in that moment, in that bathroom, I grounded myself with those words. You're here. You are in a bathroom at an Asian restaurant. That's where you are. And you know the best time to use the bathroom is when you're in a bathroom. That's where I was. The best time to connect with your friends is when you're with your friends. The best time to relax and enjoy fellowship is when you're around a table with other people enjoying fellowship. And it just hit me. I was not living present. See, I'd actually given feedback to our church leaders that we needed more connection. We needed to find opportunities to get together. And that's exactly what they're giving me. I could have been alone in my office writing an email about the need for connection, and I was surrounded by people around a table, and I was thinking about being in my office. I was there, but I wasn't there. So Jesus told Martha, only one thing is needed. And when he said that, he did not mean that we are to spend our entire existence sitting at his feet listening to him. We should be constantly in connection with him. But Jesus also, in some moments, calls us to go for him, to work with him. So sitting at his feet was not the one thing for every moment. It was the one thing in that moment. Jesus was there. He was not far from being crucified, from being gone. Jesus spent time alone, but this moment he wasn't alone. He was in their house with them. That was the moment to sit and listen to Jesus, because that's where he was. You are here. Jesus is in your house. You should stop working and listen to Jesus. See, Martha was so busy trying to create the next moment that she missed the one she was in. In the secular world, we use language like living in the moment, seizing the day, mindfulness, being present. All of this is God's stuff. God made us this way. He made us embodied. He gave us a body so that we are not in multiple places at once. We are in one place at any moment. And there is, in every moment, a one thing that's needed. When I sleep, sleep is needed. When I work, that work is needed. There is this beautiful art to living where we could identify with the help of God what is the one thing that's needed in this moment and give ourselves to that. I was reminded of this just last week when two of my kids were too sick to go to school, but I still had stuff to do. So I brought a foam mattress and put it in my office, and sick kids stayed with me in my office. Now, in the mornings, I have it scheduled. That's my focus time. I already had that focus time interrupted by another pastor's meeting. It was a Zoom call. So I was, you know, giving up some of my scheduled focus time to be there. And then, you know, the school is connected to our church, and the principal wanted to talk about some things, and that's important. So I went over and talked with her. And then I came back, and the kids needed help with homework. So I helped them with homework. And all of this is rubbing on my sense of efficiency, because I was supposed to get certain things done in that time. And I let my focus, once again, make me rush through helping with homework, made me not be fully present and talking with a colleague. It made me push to the next thing while I was on a Zoom meeting. And I was reminded that that was a waste. You are here, Ryan. When you're on that Zoom call, be on that Zoom call. When you're helping kids with homework, help them with homework. When you're talking with someone about important things, talk with someone about important things. Don't push to the next moment. Why do I try to be present by wishing I was somewhere else? I'm here. And the best contribution I can make is to be fully here. So you have a statement you could say that is always true. Those three words, you are here. There's never a time that you can't say that and have it be true. You're always where you are. If you don't like where you are, then the solution is not to pretend you're not there, but to do something about getting yourself to a different place. Maybe you should not be in that meeting, and rather than just daydreaming while you're in it, find a way to not get that thing on your schedule. Don't pretend to be somewhere else. Accept the truth. You are here. And when you're there, the best thing to do is to be present there. The Bible talks about this in many places. Matthew 6 says, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Don't worry about tomorrow. You got today. Isaiah 43 says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." See, my most common fault in not living in the moment is that I live in the present. Some people, it's different. They live in the past. And God says, stop dwelling in the past. I'm doing something right now. I'm doing something new. Engage in that. Ephesians 5 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Make the most of every opportunity. You don't make the most of every opportunity by thinking about all the things you need to do in the next moment. You engage. You recognize that God is good enough to have given you this moment, and you're there. Philippians 3 says, "One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward, I press on toward the prize." Matthew 19 gives us a picture of Jesus when he was doing something else. But little children started coming to him, and he recognized the moment. He wasn't saying, "Man, I need to go teach. I need to go pray. I need to go eat." All those things were the thing in different moments. But in this moment, Jesus recognized, this is the moment to love these kids. It says, "Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them, but the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.' When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there." Jesus moved on from there, but not without being present there. When he had placed his hands on him, then he moved on from there. See, in the Garden of Gethsemane, before the cross, that was the moment for soul-searching, anguishing prayer. That was the moment. The disciples thought maybe it was the moment to sleep. That was the moment to pray. In every moment, there is a one thing needed, and we're just not very good at seeing that thing. But you know who is? Jesus. He's a master at cutting through the distractions, calming the anxiety, focusing our scattered brain and saying, this is what matters. And I just imagine the beauty of my life, the effectiveness of my life, if I could listen to the Holy Spirit and engage in each moment in the one thing that's needed. If I could live knowing, Ryan, you are here. What's needed right here? And I think about the things I miss out on in the moment. I think about the things I miss out on for the future because I didn't prepare for the future by living in those moments. Like I didn't get sleep because I was thinking about something else. So when the moment comes, I'm too tired to live in it. We mess it up when we don't live by the simple truth. You are here. So Jesus says to Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, indeed only one. How is God speaking to you? Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Well, thank you so much for listening to Speak, Lord. And as always, you can find all of our episodes by searching for Speak, Lord, wherever you get podcasts. And you can find more from me at PastorRyanRogers.com.